Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. February is Heart Health Awareness Month. Although we talk about this every February, some people, especially black women, may not get the message about the risks of heart disease. Well, tonight, you're going to hear a story that will make you stand up and pay attention. My guests are Dr. Arooj Fatima. She is Chief Cardiologist Fellow at Howard University Hospital. Also, Dr. Stacy Ashton, a heart disease survivor. She's also an elementary school principal. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Dr. Fatima and Dr. Ashton, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Let me first talk about some numbers. And we are not unfamiliar with these numbers. We hear them quite a bit. Some 49% of African American women are impacted by heart disease. Let me first start with you, Dr. Fatima. Why does this continue to be such a big issue for black women?
So as we know that around 49% of the black women, they have heart disease. For most part, the reason for that are the risk factors that they have, and such as like obesity, diabetes, or high blood pressure. And optimal control of those risk factors can actually eventually lead to decrease in the prevalence of heart disease. But the reason why it's like predominantly a major issue in black population is because of probably not taking care of these risk factors early enough, and eventually that translates into heart disease later in the life.
Mm-hmm. That makes so much sense, and that is a tad bit scary. Dr. Ashton, talk to me about your story. You had open heart surgery and you were in your late 40s.
Yes, I was. I'm more than happy to share my story because, as Dr. Fatima mentioned, we have to know the risk factors and the symptoms early on. And for me, I didn't listen to my body like I should have. And while, yes, I am a heart attack survivor, for a long time, it was very difficult for me to even utter those words because I could not believe that I had a heart attack. I was 49 years old in January 2017, and I thought of myself as a pretty healthy woman. I exercised, I tried to eat right, but what I soon discovered is that I had been at risk for quite some time, and I didn't even know it. And that's because I didn't listen to my body. And, you know, looking back, I didn't address those early warning signs. And I didn't listen to those subtle whispers that over time, you know, became these loud screams. Because I didn't think I could have a heart attack. It couldn't happen to me. And I think that's what most women believe, that they don't pay attention to the signs. We dismiss it as something else. And so, you know, for me, it wasn't about obesity, diabetes, or high blood pressure. I did have high cholesterol, but in my case, it was about my family history.
Always a big issue, and one of those things that we often don't talk about.
Yeah. Exactly. So this is a great example. Apart from the risk factors that we pay attention to, and we should be trying to like optimize them in the population to decrease the incidence of this disease, a lot of time, if you are genetically predisposed to having cardiac disease, then that is an additional kind of risk that gets added on top of everything else. So, for instance, if you have a family history, a very strong family history of premature heart disease in your family, or similar kind of events having to other family members, then in that case, you have to be even more vigilant and kind of like pay attention to some subtle symptoms that you start having even early on to kind of optimize everything and kind of better deal with them.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. This is Heart Health Awareness Month on this Medical Monday. If you have a comment or a question, particularly if you are a Black woman, we'd like to hear from you about any concerns or any experience that you may have in dealing with your heart health. Again, lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dr. Ashton, talk to me about the day that you had the heart attack.
Okay, absolutely. So going back 3 years ago, it was January 15th, 2017. I woke up in the middle of the night at around 3 o'clock a.m. in the morning. I woke up. I was drenched in sweat. I was slightly disoriented. I was not feeling myself, and I wasn't sure what was going on. I sat on the side of my bed, tried to get myself together. I thought, you know, maybe it's indigestion because I did have a late dinner the night before with a girlfriend. So I said, okay, I must be having indigestion, heartburn, what's going on? So I got up and I said, let me go to the bathroom, get a drink of water, and maybe that will help. So as I was walking to the bathroom, my feet were tingling. And that was one of the symptoms that had been, that I had been going through for quite some time, but I didn't recognize it at the time. So my feet were tingling because of my poor circulation. So my feet were tingling, my stomach was in knots, and I just did not feel well at all. So I splashed some water on my face. I walked around for a few minutes, and then I felt like I was about to vomit. So I woke my husband up. I woke him up, and I said, I think we need to go to urgent care. I'm not feeling well. Something is wrong. And so he said, do we need to call 911? I said, nope, let's just go to urgent care again, you know. I got this. I'm okay. It's going to be all right. I can handle it. Let's just go to urgent care. So by the time we got to urgent care and my husband went up to the front desk, called, you know, asked for the nurse, at that point, I felt like an elephant was sitting on my chest. And I told my husband, I said, I feel like I'm having a heart attack. I said, something is wrong. I don't feel well. So I was, you know, immediately taking the triage. They ran some tests, did some blood work, and what seemed like hours, I'm sure, was only a few minutes. And the doctor came back and said, your wife is experiencing a heart attack, and we need to immediately transport her to the nearest hospital. And I was transported to Prince George's Hospital Center, and that's where my life completely changed on that day.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. This is our Medical Monday conversation. This is a particularly important Medical Monday conversation as February is Heart Health Awareness Month. We are focusing on everyone tonight, but of course with a particular emphasis on Black women. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tia, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Tia. What's on your mind?
Hi, yes. Thank you for the topic. And I wanted to ask a question. Earlier you were mentioning that there are early warning signs that typically occur that women oftentimes ignore. And I'm just wondering if you could provide examples of what those typical signs are. And I asked just to be kind of candid. So about 6 months ago, and I'm 43 years old, by the way, I started having periodic, like, it almost feels like butterflies in your chest or fluttering. And it's not painful. It just kind of makes you gasp a little bit. I mentioned it to a family member of mine who's in the medical field, and they said that it could be like PCV or PVC, I think it's called, and sometimes can be induced by stress. Is that a warning sign? I actually have an appointment with my physician just for my annual physical, and that's one of the things that I intend to bring up with her. But it's happening enough where it is definitely concerning.
Dr. Fatima.
So this is a great question. A lot of people have similar symptoms like these, and they have a question about that how they should proceed further. So what you just described, PVC, it's a kind of a early beat that comes in, and because it's coming like before, it's kind of a premature ventricular contraction that we call in our language, which means an early beat that's coming in, and that gives you this sensation of fluttering in the chest. So yes, it does need like further evaluation, and there are different ways in which we can go about kind of like, you know, checking that what's causing it, how much of it you're having, like throughout the day if you're all the time in it, or once in a while you have it. There can be different causes of that. Now, the heart disease is just not of a one particular type. So,
right.
For instance, the heart attack in a common language, as we talk about, that has to do more with blockages or clogging of your arteries with cholesterol, and then eventually leading to a heart attack or an MI. Now, some other kind of heart disease, for instance, what we call in medical term as arrhythmias, as in what one of which you just described as like PVCs, they can be just there without causing any, you know, like greater harm. But in some people, if they are like happening all the time, or you have it with increased frequency, then definitely it needs treatment. But no matter whatever symptoms, if you're having that persistently or you're experiencing them, the best thing to go about doing that is to see a cardiologist. They will run some basic test, and then based on the evaluation of that, they can like let you know that if any further investigation or treatment is warranted.
Mm-hmm. Tia asked about some other possible symptoms. Do you have two or three more that you can just kind of list that may be an indication of heart health issues?
Yes. So they're, especially in women, they can present very atypically. For instance, that in men, most of the times they present with typical chest pain, and that would be one of the common symptoms. But for women, it could be something as simple as just feeling tired with even minimal exertion, feeling very short of breath. Sometimes you can just have pain in your arms with radiation to the neck or the back, feeling dizzy or passing out or near passing out experiences. So these are some of other symptoms, or having a sensation of indigestion and over-the-counter stuff is not really working out for that, and having that for a prolonged period of time. All of these could be one of the manifestations of an underlying heart disease. So
right.
Any of those signs, if you're having for a long period of time, it's better to get it checked by a doctor.
Tia, thank you so much. Get yourself checked out. I'm glad you gave us a call, and certainly good health to you. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about Heart Health Awareness Month, focusing on heart disease and what you need to know. Let's go to Sandy, calling from D.C. Sandy, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I wanted to know, is it a possibility that it could be also brought on by stress?
Yes, so stress is a risk factor. A lot of time, if you have any kind of emotional stress going on, that can eventually like lead to worsening of the symptoms, and that can be one of the risk factors in terms of further increasing the intensity of your symptoms of the heart disease.
Okay. Sandy, thank you so much. So talk to me, if you don't mind, Dr. Ashton, when you got to the hospital and they said you needed to have surgery, can you briefly kind of walk us through that? I know that's really kind of complex. did they explain to you what they were going to do?
Yes, they did. So originally I was supposed to have a stent put in, but after the cardiologist took a closer look, they discovered that the stent wouldn't work because I had two clogged arteries. They were both 80% clogged. And so as a result, I had to have open heart surgery, a double bypass open heart surgery. And it was, you know, even thinking about it now, it just brings chills to me because I just can't believe that, you know, this actually happened. But I did. I had open heart surgery. And when I had to share this information with my daughters and my husband, you know, it was a very traumatic experience. And, you know, at the time, my daughters were 14 and 17. And, you know, they were scared and I was scared and my husband was scared. But we made it through with my family and my friends. You know, I'm here 3 years later, and thriving and living. And I owe, you know, I'm grateful to my heart surgeon, Dr. Jamie Smith. You know, he saved my life, and I thank God for him and his team and the work that they did to save my life. But it was a very traumatic experience for me, something I wouldn't wish on anybody. And I had to, I was in ICU for 11 days wow. after my heart surgery. And I was on medical leave for 4 months until I was healthy enough to go back to work. But yes, something I wouldn't, like I said, I wouldn't wish on anybody, but I feel like, you know, telling my story and sharing it with others, hopefully will save lives.
Indeed. So 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Vern, calling from Temple Hills. Vern, quickly, what's on your mind?
You know, I had experienced heart palpitations. Man, it almost feels like you're having a heart attack. Your heart gets racing in your chest so fast, you feel like you was in a marathon race, and it's hard for you to breathe, and even the veins in your neck feel like they're throbbing. And I've learned to not panic, because when you panic, that makes it even worse. And the doctors told me that it came from too much caffeine, like drinking tea or coffee or eating chocolate, caused it to happen. Because I had one the other day, and I knew what it was, so I just had to calm myself down, because it's scary. I came off a flight one time in BWI and had to be rushed to the VA hospital in Baltimore for the same thing. Mm. And that's how I found out what it was, because they had me on this little, looked like a little TV screen where you could actually see your heart. And they kept me for a day or two in the hospital, gave me nitroglycerin and all that. And then they finally said that it was from too much caffeine.
I see.
That made you feel that way as well.
Mm-hmm. Vern, real quick, how are you doing now?
You know, I've had this feeling a few days ago, and I know it was the same thing because I'm eating what I shouldn't be eating, which is drinking coffee and eating chocolate candy.
Mm-hmm. Well, follow your doctor's orders, Vern, and certainly good health to you. I need to take a break, but Daryl, calling from Denver, Colorado, we're going to talk to you next, so please don't hang up. You will be able to hear the program. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is our Medical Monday conversation. We're focusing on heart health. This is Heart Health Awareness Month. And don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum's Insight segment in its entirety via podcast on WHUR.com. Just click on Shows and drop down to podcast to find the program you want to hear. Stay with us. If you're on the phone, the Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. Angela Stribling is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This discussion continues on Sirius XM Channel 141 in about 15 seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about heart health tonight. February is Heart Health Awareness Month, and this Medical Monday conversation, we are focusing on heart health for everyone, but we are particularly interested in finding out how this impacts Black women. My guests are Dr. Aruj Fatimov. She is Chief Cardiologist Fellow at Howard University Hospital, and Dr. Stacey Ashton. She is a heart disease survivor and an elementary school principal. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Daryl, calling from Denver, Colorado. Daryl, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, good evening. Enjoy the show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for taking my call. Sure. I guess a month or so ago, you all probably recall Jillian Michael, who's a fitness individual, made some comments about Lizzo and her health and weight and so forth. And she was kind of beaten up for apparently fat shaming.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to know from your guests what they would tell Lizzo, because I know being overweight does cause health issues, heart problems, you know, diabetes, and all of these particularly affect Blacks. So I'll hang up and listen to the response. But what would your guest tell Lizzo?
You're familiar with Lizzo. So Lizzo is probably one of the hottest. By the way, thank you so much, Daryl. She's probably one of the hottest pop culture phenomenons. She's overweight. And you don't need to be a physician to see that. His question isn't about how she looks or fat shaming, as has often been the conversation. But we often hear people who are obviously overweight and they say that, you know, they have no diabetes, they're healthy. But what is the long-term impact of someone who is obviously overweight on your heart, Dr. Fatimov?
So obesity in itself is one of the risk factors for heart disease, and not only for a coronary artery disease that is, in simple terms, leads to like blockages in your arteries leading to heart attack, but obesity in some of the literature has also been associated with increased risk of heart failure. It's because when you have increased fat in your system, the hemodynamics, like, you know, the way your heart is like pumping and it's functioning and it's carrying out all the activities, it's altered. So because of the increased stress on the body, eventually that's like, it has a twofold effect. One is that cholesterol deposition, or having like increased bad cholesterol in your body, is one of the most important risk factors or the reasons for having heart disease. So that is one part of it. But if you're obese and you do not have you have increased fat in your body, or you're not at your ideal body weight that you should be, then probably also your daily, you're not like working out, you're not even active at the baseline. So all of these kind of like, you know, eventually leads to increased risk of translating into having any kind of cardiac event.
What is the difference between a heart attack and heart failure?
So that's a great question. So heart attack, basically that is a situation where, so our heart is supplied by a lot of arteries. And if you have any kind of cholesterol deposition in one of them, to the point that now the blood cannot flow through them, so the muscle of the heart, or the part of the heart that they are supplying, that territory gets affected badly.
Oh.
So for instance, now when the blood is not being supplied to that part of the heart, it's deprived of all the oxygen and nutrients and everything. So that particular blockage leads to, like, you know, a section of the heart, depending on what territory that artery is supplying. Eventually, that leads to, like, you know, the heart not being functioning properly.
I see.
So that is one of the definitions of the heart attack. Now, if a prompt treatment is given to the patient, and with all the medical therapies and the treatments available now, if you are able to restore flow in adequate time or in a timely fashion, then you can kind of prevent that damage to quite an extent. So this is one of the simple definitions of heart attack. But heart failure is a condition where your heart muscle is not capable of keeping up with the demands of the body, and it's not pumping enough blood to the body to carry out its needs. Now, the reason for that heart failure could be heart attack, but there are various other things also that can lead to heart failure. So it's important to understand that not everybody who has coronary artery disease or a blockage or a heart attack will have heart failure. Mm-hmm. So that is one of the causes of that too, but there are many other reasons for that as well.
That's fascinating. Go right ahead, Dr. Ashton.
If I could jump in, I just wanted to add that you do not have to be obese to have cardiovascular disease. I'm not obese. I don't consider myself, you know, excessively overweight. I don't have diabetes, nor do I have high blood pressure, but I did have high cholesterol, and I didn't listen to my body, and I didn't heed the warning signs and do what I needed to do to minimize my risk around high cholesterol, and that was my fault. And so I take, you know, I have to take ownership of that, but I'm not obese in any way. And so I think that as women, African-American women in particular, we have to understand that, you know, the signs could definitely be there. So don't misinterpret being overweight as something that is a precondition to cardiovascular disease. It is not.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I have a lot of family and friends listening to this show, and I just want them to know, go get yourself checked out. You know, if you have a family history, which was my situation, you need to know who in your family has high blood pressure, high cholesterol, who's had a heart attack, you know, who's had some type of cardiovascular disease that needs to be addressed, because you don't want to wait until the last minute where you're in a situation like I was. And I would also add that, you know, some of the symptoms that I had as a woman may not be the same symptoms that men would experience. For example, I had jaw pain, and I attributed it to having some dental work done a few months ago. I had lower back pain. I had extreme fatigue, which I attributed to just
being tired
myself.
Yeah.
Being tired, you know, overworking myself. And what I discovered is when I went to the hospital for my heart surgery, my heart was operating at 30%, and I didn't even know that.
Mm. I do want to talk to you a little bit more about the family history piece, but let me go back to the phone lines real quick. We've got some calls I want to take, but I do want to talk to you about that, because not just in your case, but in so many cases, that is something that, as you suggested, was missed, and it could very well be a life-saving proposition if people are in tuned with their family history. But hold on one second. Let me go to Cecilia calling from Maryland. Cecilia, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, my question is, with the testimonials that Bayer Aspirin commercial does and some other aspirin-related companies, is it still a good practice, whether it's been recommended by your physician or not, to take a low-dose aspirin or a baby aspirin once a day, once a week, once a month? What is your opinion on that, please?
Dr. Fadiman.
So for aspirin, there has been some slight changes in the recent guidelines. it's so there are two different categories of people. So for anybody who has had any kind of heart disease, like coronary artery disease, by that, that is what I meant by heart disease, should be on aspirin long term.
What does it do?
So it helps. So we have in our system, naturally, we have platelets that help in clotting or forming a clot in the body. So aspirin helps overall in order to, like, you know, prevent, or if you have had a heart disease before and you have had a stent, so it kind of, like, you know, it's kind of a preventive measure too. But if you have had a coronary artery disease before and you're already on the therapy, so it kind of helps kind of, like, you know, maintaining the a good flow within the arteries and preventing the same kind of blockages having again.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of the people who have already had a cardiac event, or they have a stent in the arteries, or they have had open heart surgery, or they have any history of heart disease before, they should continue taking aspirin. For the ones who are more taking that for prevention, in that setting, if you're diabetic or you have other risk factors, which your doctor can determine after talking to you, like you have high cholesterol and more so diabetes, then it's a good idea to take, like, low-dose aspirin daily, which can actually help to decrease the risk of heart disease eventually. Mm-hmm.
Cecilia, thank you so much for calling. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Erica calling from D.C. You had a question about smoking. Don't. What's your question?
I totally agree. I just wanted to make sure I put it out there, as far as I don't think that people understand the impact of smoking in your heart. My mother-in-law had, like, a major heart attack, and she was healthy. She worked out. She was thin. Her cholesterol was normal, but she had been smoking 20-plus years, and she had a heart attack. But she had two prior to that, and she didn't know it. And she thought it was indigestion, and she treated it herself. But the third one pretty much almost took her out of here. So, and her doctor said it was directly related to her smoking. So I just wanted to touch on that a little bit.
Mm-hmm. You want to talk about that? By the way, Dr. Ashton, I'm assuming you were not a smoker.
No, I'm not a smoker. But I understand what the caller's saying, because my mother, who died in 2015, was a heavy smoker.
Mm-hmm.
And she died from a heart attack in 2015.
Talk to me a little bit more about the family history piece. When you talk about heart disease, when did you become aware that there was a history in your family?
Well, I've always known, you know, that there's, you know, there's been a family history of heart disease in my family, but I was just not, I didn't pay attention to it like I should. And what I mean by that is, you know, both of my parents had bypass surgeries, my mom and my dad. As I mentioned, my mom passed in 2015 from a heart attack, but she had other complications as well. She suffered from diabetes, and my father, you know, he suffered from, you know, high cholesterol, such as myself. So the history was there, but you just never think, oh, it's going to happen to you, or you're going to experience some of those same symptoms. I just never thought that it would happen to me. And if there's anything that folks can take away from tonight, it's that it can happen to you. Take it from me, someone who's 49 at the time, thought I was, you know, pretty healthy, and suffered a heart attack at 49. And now I am just more aware. I really pay attention to not just my family history on my mom and dad's side, but I have two daughters, and I make sure that they pay attention to our family history, because I don't want this to happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really important that you talk to your loved ones, you find out what's going on, what they've experienced in their medical past, so so that you can do the right thing and take the right steps to stay healthy.
Erica, thank you so much for giving us a phone call. Did you have any thoughts about that, Dr. Fatima?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. So smoking is one of the very common factors, which is a modifiable factor, as in like you stop smoking and then you can decrease your risk of heart disease. So when you smoke, it damages your blood vessels, and along with that, it makes your blood more sticky, and you're more prone to like events, and you're more prone to have like adverse cardiac events. So it's one thing that in order to like decrease your risk of having that, if you can quit smoking, that's one of a major step forward towards good health. And the only thing I would like to add here is that, like we just heard, not everybody has to be like obese or have high blood pressure or diabetes to have heart disease. They can be different spectrum of like presentations, and they can be different risk factors in different situation. And it's very rightly highlighted by this conversation that if you do have family history of heart disease, that is also one of a very important single risk factor that can like make you have a similar kind of event at an early age. So for women, you kind of like most of the time, the risk of having adverse cardiac events is mostly postmenopausal. But now we also see a lot of younger women coming in with multiple cardiac problems. And in a lot of them, having a family history or somebody close who had similar events is one of the major risk factors that leads to that as well.
Dr. Ashton, you said that you were recovering for 4 months after you were discharged from the hospital. What was that like?
It was a time of reflection for me. It was a time for me to, you know, go deeper inside myself and just put things in perspective. I did a lot of praying. I had a lot of conversations with God, just asking him to heal my body. I spent a lot of time with my family and friends. During those 4 months, I received such an outpouring of love from family and friends, and people were just coming from all walks of life just to check on me and to see how I was doing and to make sure I was okay. And it just really helped me to put things in perspective, and it helped me to realize that, you know, if I don't have my health, I don't have anything. And, you know, none of this matters, you know, money, possessions, none of that means anything if you don't have your health. When my mom passed away in 2015, and when I saw her for the very last time, she didn't have anything. All she had was a sheet. And so it may sound, you know, scary, but some of us need a wake-up call. And it was definitely a wake-up call for me. And it's just put me in a totally different light, and I just look at life very differently. And my friends and family will tell you that I try to live my best life every single day, because I've been close to death, and I just don't ever want to experience anything like that again.
Mm-hmm. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about heart health on this Medical Monday. Of course, February is Heart Health Awareness Month. Dr. Fatima, we've spoken a lot, obviously, about Black women. Why are the symptoms of a heart attack different when it comes to men and women? And that may be an impossible or very difficult question. You know, Dr. Ashton just said, have you looked at the guys lately?
It's kind of hard to explain that, honestly, that you know, why... probably the way in which they would perceive the symptoms can be different too. And earlier on, like few years back, the prevalence of heart disease was thought to be like most in men and was kind of overlooked in women anyways. And so I don't know if we even have enough data or literature to exactly know that, you know, they have not been studied well. So women have not been like really studied well in a lot of trials or in a lot of different things. So we don't really know that, you know, what is the real reason in the variability. But it's kind of, it could be many things. It's just that, you know, how each gender they perceive the symptoms or how, you know, their body kind of like reacts to different kind of things that's happening. But a lot of women also present with the conventional symptoms or the common symptoms that everybody knows. So, for instance, if you have a bad chest pain, so that is one of the biggest concerns that you would have with that is that if you're having a heart attack. So a lot of women also present like that. It's not that they do not. The only thing is that in women, sometimes other than this common presentation, there can be other presentations as well. So if those are there, then in that situation as well, they should be kind of evaluated or looked through for heart disease.
Yeah, because Dr. Ashton mentioned lower back pain. And why would you have lower back pain?
So the way you have a lot of different arteries that are involved in the heart. So the way the heart sits in the chest, it's interior, but then it has like, you know, It has an orientation where a part of it is like laying just adjacent to what we call the diaphragm, and then there is a posterior part of it. So sometimes based on like which area of the heart is involved, your presentation can totally be different. So we have had patients who would just come in with complaint of indigestion. And indigestion, a lot of people who come in with indigestion could actually have indigestion and would not have heart disease.
Or they could have gas or something.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But then that is one of the, I wouldn't say common, but one of the presentations of having an MI that we call inferior MI. It's one of the arteries of the heart, the right coronary artery, if that's involved, a lot of people can feel as if they are just not feeling too good or they're nauseous or something like that. So in every individual, based on what kind of disease you have and then what stage you're presenting to the hospital to and multiple different factors, the way you present can be different. So having like lower back pain, having indigestion, having jaw pain, neck pain, maybe just having like arm pain or tingling, all of those can be there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you... The only thing would be that if you have all the risk factors and if you're having any particular symptom for a long period of time, it's always a good idea to get yourself checked by a doctor.
And that's the thing I wanted to say because,
right.
You know, obviously when Dr. Ashton was talking about this plethora of symptoms and issues, and while we certainly want people to be aware, we want them to be well educated, but we also don't want to scare you into believing that if you have pain in your leg, that you may have knocked it up against the side of the bed while getting up in the, you know, to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, as opposed to it being a precursor to a heart attack. Dr. Ashton.
And I would agree. And that's why I say that it's important to listen to your body because you know your body better than anybody else. And so for me, the symptoms didn't all happen at once. So I didn't have jaw pain, you know, pain in my left arm, lower back pain, all at once. They were symptoms that would come and go. They were very inconsistent and they would happen. You know, in hindsight, they happened over a period of time. And as I mentioned earlier, I would dismiss the symptoms as and call them something else. You know, I didn't attribute, you know, fatigue to my heart not working at 100%. I attributed it to the demands of my job. So I would agree with you and say, you know, especially women, listen to your body. We know when something is not right.
We know that. The point I'm trying to make is don't dismiss it. When you know that something isn't right, go to the doctor and have it checked out. Don't just say, oh, you know, I'll put it off. No, self-care. Take time to take care of yourself. So symptoms happen over time. It's not something that, you know, you may experience in one sitting, if you will, or in one moment in time. But listen to your body.
Let me ask you this, Dr. Ashton. That was in 2017. I'm sure you've had time to reflect, but you've also had even more time to listen to your body. Have you experienced any of the same symptoms since your surgery that you were having prior to the surgery?
No, I have not.
Fascinating.
I have not.
Truly fascinating. Can you, so how is your life now? I mean, what's your eating like? Exercise, work like? What's the routine?
I decided to put myself first. And again, as women, we don't oftentimes do that. We put everybody else first. And, you know, it's hard for us to say no. So I have, you know, I've created a lifestyle change for me, where I take care of myself. Right before I tuned in, I was just finishing up a yoga class. So I'm taking yoga now 2 days a week. I'm getting in some cardio. I've changed my eating habits. I watch my sugar intake. I watch my carbs and the calories that I take in every single day. You know, I do things differently at work, so that because work, my job is very demanding and it can be very stressful. And so there are times where I say, you know, at 4 o'clock, or 4:30, I'm leaving. And whatever work didn't get done today, it will be there tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Because I have to take care of myself so that I can be here for my family. And so I've made some intentional lifestyle changes for me, because I plan to be around for a very long time.
And get your husband and those daughters to wash those dishes. How about that?
Oh, they do. And my husband is a great cook. He cooks every night.
So a man after my own heart.
And my daughters as well.
There you go. Dr. Fatima, do you have a final thought?
Yes, so the only thing I would like to say is that prevention is important. Knowing yourself, knowing your symptoms, something unusual that you have been experiencing, get yourself evaluated. That's very, very important. But other than that, for the people who have already had any kind of event, it's life-changing. It alters a lot of things, the way you are, the way you spend your each and every day. But then if you have a close follow-up, and if you follow all of the correct schedules, and you change your lifestyle and you adopt like healthy lifestyle, then you can actually have a normal lifespan and completely live a normal life. Mm.
I think that's a great place to end this conversation. Dr. Arooj Fatima, thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you.
And Dr. Stacey Ashton, thank you so much for sharing with us. I wish you and your family the best of health. And I really appreciate you having this very candid conversation and sharing with us.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. That is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Monday, February 10th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.